Well, let's hope the failure at home stops tonight.
On that.
Let's see if maybe this
Ed's
team
taking his tarp off.
Oh yeah. That would be
I'll be
nice.
In the right field. Check that out in the third inning.
You will not be able to miss him.
Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson, Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Yeah, bitches, you are listening to the radio station of the greatest baseball team in history.
For a night.
Greatest single hitting team in history.
For a night, for now on, baby. Shutting out the best team in baseball. And we know that happened just because it was the first time Chad Tracy met me and Ted for the first time.
It's
a good luck charm. It's meant to be. It is Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. I'm liking the feed there. That was cool. What's in your feed?
Yeah, what's in the feed? Sox baseball. That's what's in the feed, baby.
It's in everybody's feed. Mm-hmm. That did feel good. Man, that was a fun game to watch. And it is definitely something that you can build on. You know what? Let's go ahead and do it, baby. Oh, I'm geeked out. Sports
Look at
happened.
This. He's been briefed.
What just happened?
What the
Sports
hell?
Happened.
Did you talk to John Henry on the way out of the park?
Your coffee this morning?
I've been hanging out with Dan Roach a little too much.
Oh.
After he made his big thick comment yesterday, I've just been Dan Roach obsessed. Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-7777. And as I was saying yesterday, can you believe it? The Red Sox actually won a game. Let's play the clip.
Two balls, two strikes. The pitch is lined to third. Caught by Kiner Falefa. And the ball game is over. Red Sox roll 8-0. They got a chance at a series win against the best team in baseball tomorrow night at Fenway. Fun one. On a beautiful summer night.
We were robbed of a Cooper Boardman coopgasm. If he was calling that game, man, you would have to clean up the booth. It was an eruption of offense. Singles.
Shot to the heart.
There we go, Coop.
That's right.
Go, bud. In there, bud.
Singles in bulk, and all of a sudden, your low and downtrodden Red Sox just beat the pants off the best team in baseball. A shutout. 8-0, the final score.
Best moment of the game. Can I interject real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fourth inning, obviously their biggest inning of the year. The Sogard bunt. I did a fist pump. They laid down a successful bunt, small ball at its best. Those are the things you have to appreciate about the 26 Red Sox and their offense.
Well, which is what?
Which is moving runners along, playing
proper
fundamental.
Bunt?
Proper bunts.
Oh, it's we're third through the season. It's about time.
I got goosebumps.
Jeez,
I did.
Dude.
I was like, Sogard, yes.
You know what's funny? I come in here with a little bit of tongue in cheek, and Ken's 100% in. Like, he really means it.
I turned a corner.
I hit a highlighter right on it. I was keeping score.
But it was wild because not only was it death by 1,000 singles for the Braves, but we got ourselves even a big old dong in the process, did we not?
1-1 to Duran. Ripped on the right field line. That is way back. It is gone! Jaron Duran, a solo blast. And the Red Sox lead it 8-0.
Stay hot, kid.
Yep. Holy Jaron Duran. How well has he been playing since that rabble-rouser Michael Holly told him to shove it where the sun don't shine?
Yeah.
Holly knew what he was doing. We know that. I told you,
Duran, you can't trade him. You guys mocked me. What was it, a week and a half ago?
I did. But let's see what happens when Roman comes back, and then he goes back to being, you know, not an everyday player. We'll see what happens.
Well, at least we get to wait 3 or 4 months for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, fair point. So. We got a good update on that yesterday, didn't we? Trace was
it sounded to me like after the All-Star break, which isn't like what I would call a good update.
Here was a little Trace.
We want it to move along. Like, I hope he gets better fast, and we're making improvements now, which is great.
Making improvements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boy. That sounds like he'll be there tomorrow. Uh-huh.
Play that. You know what he sounds just like now that I hear it in my headphones? He
we want it like, to move along. Like, I hope he gets better fast, and we're making improvements
that's
now.
That's Tom Brady.
Which is great.
Oh, it's fast-talking Brady.
He sounds just like Tom Brady when he talks.
But only when Brady's excited about something. Like, when he would talk TB12 method, he would get very hyper and be like, you know, sure. I drink a lot of water. And then Guerrero's right behind me.
And then he would line up about not being able to get a sunburn if you drink water. I mean, the offense really had been trending in the right direction, and with Connelly Early just shutting out one of the best offenses of baseball, it did feel good. That was a good win. Ted, did you take anything from last night's win, from what you saw?
It's hard for me to really take too much away. I'm sorry. I, look, I, 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 I like the fact that they hit last night, but can you do it on a consistent basis? We'll see. You got Chris Sale today. They haven't done it with any regularity. So it's hard for me to get too excited when they have these games in which the bats kind of light up. But
it is kind of a four-game sample size for the offense. Even though they haven't won these games, right? Going back to Friday, they had six runs twice. They had a four spot in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not a big stretch, but still, four games, it's different players. It's Sogard, it's Gasper. They've got players who are now with Duran and Rafaela playing up to their capabilities that we thought coming into the year.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, the Wilson Contreras has been very good all year, but that is making them sort of average, right?
Yeah.
Passable.
Yeah. And that's what we just want them to, you know, hit for average, right? To just get average, you know, runs and score. And then all of a sudden you have a pretty good ball club. So, I don't know. It's still, there's some signs.
Yeah.
There are some signs. We got 13 more games against teams that are above 500, and let's see how they look in about 2 weeks. Let's talk then.
I just think, Ted, one of my favorite things that came out of the last couple of weeks was, I forget who came up with it, and that was if the Red Sox had just been hitting for average or scoring 4.5 runs, I think is the average.
Which is the league average,
Yeah, then they would have had the fourth best record in baseball. And so what you're seeing, as you said, in this like four-game sample size, at least they're not asleep. Like, there's something going on to where the bats are picking up a little bit, and to do it against a really good team, and actually, and if your pitching continues to do as well as it did, I mean, that was, as I said, that's one of the best offenses in the league, and you shut them out. I mean, that was, as I said, not to get too excited, and God knows if they continue to hit well over this next couple of weeks, talk about truly proving yourself, because these are good teams that
even,
you're going up
even
against.
Baltimore, which was like the one lousy team, is starting to play well. They just swept the Rays, so that's not even easy in this stretch. But the pitching, so Toley and Early have now gone six innings plus nine times this year.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Rich Hill say on the Nesson post game, they're untouchable. He would not trade these guys, which I thought is something. Like, if you're in the market for a big bat, as they keep saying they are, that's what everybody's going to be asking for. That's a very tough decision for Breslow. Would you part ways with your two young rookie pitchers who have been a huge part of you being, well, not good, but at least somewhat watchable and close in these games?
You have to. I mean, unfortunately, you have to. You're going to have to make a sacrifice if you want a bat that truly makes a difference. But, I mean, I don't even think that's the wrong decision right now, because it is somewhat of an embarrassment of riches at pitching. I mean, this team is so solid in pitching.
Especially when Crochet's back, which...
Yep.
I guess he's close, maybe. Tuesday he's going to throw another bullpen.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see how it all goes. But I do think that, you know, the signs are good. As I said, I came in a little tongue-in-cheek, but it does feel good to see that, you know. And it also felt good to see the other team screwing up and committing errors. You know what I mean?
Did the Red Sox take you on a trip to Sarasota or wherever they took Ted for the Patriots to get him to sign that contract? Like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, you've fallen under a spell in
you
one night.
You have one night.
No, no, no. This isn't one night. It's the moment I looked into the eyes of Chad Tracy.
And
he said, Rich, everything is going to change because we had this interview together.
This was my favorite Tracy response to you.
In a way, it can be described as that, but also no at the same time.
I don't even know what I said.
Is it
there.
Pain tolerance?
Oh, pain. Oh, that was the pain tolerance question. Okay.
Yes, but no.
That was a good question, because usually you say that to a jackass when it's a bad question. But that I'll give myself credit asking him about, is this a pain tolerance thing, because that's what had been floated out there.
Did he clear it up for you, the pain tolerance question?
So he actually did. I thought that his answer was pretty good. As a matter of fact, it's better than anything that I had heard so far, because we're talking about Roman Anthony, and his whole thing was, listen, when you're playing, you know, with every at bat, every time you hit a ball, if you've got the kind of injury that he has, it can be so crippling. Like, the pain can run through your body that there's just no way you can continue to do that. So until he gets to the point where he won't drop the bat, you know, where he'll hit the ball and the pain won't be so bad that you'll drop the bat, that's when you start considering it. It's considering putting him back in.
But Ted, did that work for you with Belichick? Like, boy, my shoulder's hurting, Bill. I can't really make tackles the way I want to, because it's a little sore up there.
It never worked, not once. No, I will say, very different. You know what? I have to give baseball players a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, though, because it's a different deal. Football players, the sport, you're just used to playing with pain. Where baseball, you know, hands, fingers, that kind of stuff. I don't like to give him a pass, but I can understand why it's taking longer than maybe we expected.
Well, here's what Chad Tracy had to say after the game.
It was a good one, for sure. I'm not sure about the best, but it was really good and needed.
Yeah, I mean, it was needed, and it was good that they got that, and we'll see if they're able to string something together.
Today's game is sneaky huge, don't you think? Like, if they can beat Chris Sale, win a series against the Braves.
Dude, if they can win a series against the Braves, because think just like the morale in the locker room, if you're able to do that. We were talking to Chad Tracy about that yesterday. Like, I mean, a lot of these guys don't even know what it feels like to win at Fenway Park. Like, they've been so bad here. So not only would you win a series at home, so you kind of that snake bite is a little bit out of the picture, but you also did it against the best team in baseball. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, that's a feel good moment.
And if you we go back to this, if you put an all star third baseman on this team, where would they be right now? They would be like a legitimate World Series contender. I'm not even exaggerating.
Man, Ken.
When Crochet, I'm telling you.
Y'all are out of your minds.
If you
right
put
now.
Yordan Alvarez in the middle
no.
of this lineup.
Okay. Well, okay.
He doesn't play third. But, you know, Bregman. Hell, bring Bregman back.
Dude, you know what? I was just looking at Yordan. I mean, dude, there we go. Suckers. But Yordan would make a big difference.
Of course
it would.
He would.
But it has to be a bat like that. It can't anything less than something.
Would you would you trade Tully
Sorry. Got to go. Sorry. I mean, because what do we have, you know, a kind of a plethora of is pitchers. So I would depart with him to get to Yordan. Yordan's still, what, 28, 29 years old?
I think 28. So
you got a lot. Oh, come on, please.
Connelly Early, last four starts, 3-0 with a 1.78 ERA, a whip below one. His chase rate is 39%. He's like, he looks so calm out there. You ran him out for the game 3 of the series with the Yankees last year. It was not great, but he was not bad.
Yeah.
And to trade him now would be like, I agree with Rich. I don't think I could give up either of these guys right now.
Well, no, you're not agreeing with me. I think you could give them up if it means getting a big bat. I think that they've got enough pitching that you have to give up one in order to get that
side
of it.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it works. All right. So speaking of how it works, we are going to be back in just 2 minutes. We're going to be right back this quick break because when we get back, there's a lot we have to talk about. First of all, the A.J. Brown deal might not be as ironclad as we all thought that it was. A brand new report says everybody in Patriots land needs to take a deep breath because this may take a while if it even happens. On top of that, something very interesting from Craig Breslow this morning that might have contradicted what Chad Tracy told us yesterday. 2 minutes. We'll be right back. I told you we'd be back quick. 2 minutes. How about that?
Paying off.
I know. By the way, you can give us a call. 617-779-7937. Listen, are you thinking that yesterday might have been the start of something? At least the last four games where the bats are waking up, because that's all you've needed. The pitching is in the right place. All you needed is some sort of offense, and my God, you got it. And you got it against the best team in the league, and you're not going to have to wait long to find out if they can follow this up, because first pitch is at 4:10, and Chris Sale is going to be standing there on the mound. And speaking of big bats, everyone wants to know when Roman Anthony is coming back. We had Chad Tracy in studio yesterday, and he gave us a pretty good answer, and it did sound to me, it didn't even sound to me, he straight up told us pretty much that there was going to be time he's going to be spending. They're going to send him down, try to get some games under his belt. It's not going to be simply he feels better and all of a sudden he's back in the lineup. And didn't you guys, did you not agree with me that I'm getting a feeling of after the All-Star break? Doesn't that timeline seem about
absolutely
right?
Absolutely.
I say late June. Give me June 27th.
So a few games before the All-Star break, just to kind of sure.
A little morsel to keep you hanging around.
Why not? And this morning on the Greg Hill Show, they had on Craig Breslow. He's a weekly guest, right? Like, he's on there, because I know that sometimes it's weekly and sometimes
he takes a week off. Sam Kennedy rotate, so it's the front office support, Thursdays at 9.
So Breslow was on today, and apparently Brez is a big-time listener of the Rich, Ken, and Ted Show. We call those people in the industry a P1. Let's take a listen.
I thought Chad, explained the situation really well. I think it was yesterday when he was talking about Roman, where I think when you say, hey, you know, the rate at which he returns is going to be driven by his pain tolerance, it opens up to criticism that, you know, someone isn't tough enough to play through discomfort.
That was my point,
what we're talking about. if Roman could go out there and perform at a high level and be the guy that we know he's capable of being, and it would hurt, he would do it. The issue is when the discomfort prevents you from going out there and playing the way you're capable of. And so that's what we're working through. But the last couple of days have definitely been really good progress.
Yeah, they are trying to shut that down. And honestly, you can thank us for asking him and saying, you kind of got to be careful with that pain tolerance thing.
Yeah, but is that a mental thing? Like, in other words, if you can convince yourself that it does, the pain's not affecting your swing, then fight through it. You know what I mean? Like,
have you ever had tennis elbow before?
Sure.
Okay. I heard it sucks.
Okay.
I've never had it.
So try playing golf with tennis elbow. It's not in the elbow, but it's in his finger.
Yeah.
But imagine every time you hit the ball, it sends a shock up you're not going to be swinging as smoothly. You're not going to be as fluid. You're going to be thinking about what's about to happen once you make contact with that ball. I think there's that dynamic at play. And so all the golfers that have had tennis elbow that have played golf know what I'm talking about. It can't be, the pain, the anticipation of the pain coming is going to affect how you swing the bat.
But yet you were hard on Tatum for not playing through the calf.
I feel like it's a little different. I don't know why.
Because it's game seven?
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Can I also say that it was also because at the end of the game he said that he would have played in the next series if they moved on?
Yeah, that was not great.
That's not a good look.
Nope.
But so does Tracy convince you when he said, you ask him pain tolerance?
In a way, it can be described as that, but also no at the same time.
I can tell you why he answered that. It's because that phrase had been used by the organization already, but I think they understood that that was a mistake.
I agree, and I like the fact they kind of are coming to the kid's back. They're having his back a little bit.
Yep.
They're not you know, throwing him under the bus. There was maybe we were implying maybe potentially that there was a disconnect.
Well, because they're desperate, right? You can understand why. I mean, they're getting crushed here.
Yeah, but you don't want to be desperate with the kid that you put all the pressure on to start the season.
Yep.
Like, that's not the right person to be putting the pressure on.
And I said this yesterday, and I as I said, you, Ted, have a better understanding of this than anybody. When you are a player on a team and the team floats out that the reason you're not playing is pain tolerance, they immediately think you're a puss. Like, they're like, this guy's just a puss and he won't get out there.
They might as well just come up and say it to my face. Ted, we think you're a puss.
Yep.
Yeah. That's exactly what they're saying.
Yep.
Yeah. They're suggesting it when they come up and ask you how you're feeling. Like, you know, I'll let you know when I'm up. It's like, but when you ask me every day how I'm feeling, you're basically telling me I'm a puss. So
how does that
was another indicator that and how they thought about your injury.
That's okay. How does it feel to be on the other side of that? When it's someone from the team, whether it's the medical staff or a coach, you're injured, and they come up to you, and they're like, how you feeling, Ted?
Yeah.
What does it feel to be on the other side of
that? Just asking that question, it just tells you everything as a player. Like, I'm getting there. Like, so then they put you on the spot, and you got to, you know, you kind of like, they're reading your reaction to their question.
Do they go to the medical team, like, through you, or do they go to you directly?
Belichick?
Yeah.
Please. Agency doesn't call. Agency calls you. the medical staff, he doesn't call them. He calls you. Okay. Bill was different, but you would think most coaches would go to the medical staff, but some coaches.
Because Vrabel has said that, like, is it a pain? Is it something where you can do more damage, or is it, you know, the other kind where you could play through it? That's his question always when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, yeah, no,
which makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I will tell you, I've talked to a doctor that used to be a doctor with the Red Sox, and I was always told that it's a totally different sport. So I don't put the baseball players, he's always kind of, he just didn't have a lot of respect for the pain tolerance in baseball players.
Yeah.
Because he was a doctor for both teams. But I just think the sports are very different, and it's just, it's hard for me to kind of hold Roman to the same standard I would a football player or even a Jason Tatum.
Well, why do I imagine Bill asking you how you're doing or how you're feeling in front of other players?
Oh, bro, that's such a good, right after the team meeting, before we've all dispersed, he comes up to you and asks you, you know, are you going to go today, or how's it feeling?
While the other guys are sitting there and, you know, they're ready to go through hell.
Oh, yeah. He knows what he's doing.
But
yeah.
If you're Roman, don't you wish the team had said, we don't want him to make it worse? Just, even if it's not true, just throw it out there.
They
have not said that.
They haven't. I'm going to give them a little bit of credit for what they've been saying the last few days, because I think that they realized they stepped in it by throwing it out there that this was pain tolerance. And Chad, obviously, who is, you know, it seems to be a player's coach and is close to a lot of these guys, I think he realized, all right, man, I need to get the word out there that pain tolerance means something completely different when the pain is so bad that you can't hold your bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't, like, when you hit a ball, the pain is so bad that you want to drop said bat. Yep. So I think that they've done a decent job covering their tracks and the hole they put themselves in.
It is interesting, though, how kind of they've handled both the young you know, what we hope is budding stars in Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony. I mean, AC was tough on Marcel.
Yeah.
He had to earn his spot. Right. Yeah. You know, he did not, you know, like, Marcel's got to come in and he's got to earn his roster spot. That was the narrative coming in. And now a little bit of the gamesmanship, I think, with Roman, until now they've kind of reversed course on that. But it's interesting how, you know, the Red Sox have kind of put pressure on both those guys in their ways,
yeah,
different ways, already this season.
I want to give Greg and Chris Curtis, too, he did a good job asking some tough questions this morning of Craig Breslow. I want to give them credit because they asked really most of the stuff that we wanted to know. There was one question, and I'm throwing this at you out of nowhere, Stiz, so if you can find it. They asked him about what the plans were about getting a big bat. Do you have that clip by any chance? They asked, oh, you got it, Stiz? Okay, let's hear it.
Are you, Sam kind of alluded to this last week, but just to be clear from you, are you aggressively looking to add a bat to this lineup?
We are aggressively trying to improve our team, and certainly adding a bat, you know, and adding offense is one way to do that. We're not going to be closed off to other ways, you know, and I think the possibility that could be an addition from outside the organization is real. But when we're having conversations with other teams, as all teams do, there aren't too many that are in a position to commit to a path in 2026 because there's not a ton of separation across the teams in the American League, right? I think there's four above 500, and there's a bunch of teams that are sitting around saying, we haven't played very well, but, you know, this thing hasn't gotten away from us yet.
Ken, do you buy that, or is he shoveling it?
Well, I didn't like that he said adding offense is one way. What other way would there be to fix the team? Like, what are you talking about?
Maybe get a manager.
Like, maybe, but
that's not the only way to do it. I mean, we could, do a rain dance? Like, what the hell? I mean, possibility is real. He did say the possibility is real.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. I like that. The possibility is real. I'm going to hang on that and say, yes, he's talking to people.
Aggressively, though.
Aggressively? That didn't sound aggressively. That sounded like we're monitoring the situation.
That's totally what it means. And I think he's basically saying everybody in the American League is kind of staying put because they don't really know what they have just yet because all these teams are all bunched up.
I am kind of scared that if they continue this, you know, little offensive burst that they've had, that they might just say, why don't we just sit in our hands and wait till Roman Anthony comes back?
Damn right they're going to think that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So that's should I be exactly rooting for them to not actually do as well as they have been lately?
In a way, it can be described as that, but also no at the same time.
Keep that. That is really an all-timer clip. Fantastic. Yes, to an amazing question by me. All right, 617-779-7937. This report just came out, like right before we came in. A.J. Brown. Everyone said it was a done deal. Oh, boy. Maybe not. This is going to throw... Imagine if the Patriots don't get A.J. Brown after all of this. We will play the report right after this.
You know, I'm really just focused. We got some new guys in here that I'm working with, and I know there's some, you know, a lot of talk with that, but, you know, if he ends up being on our team, great. You know, what a great player, and if he doesn't, we still got to work these guys here. So it's a tough balance, but I know he's a phenomenal player.
Pause.
All right, so... It is Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you're listening to 937 WEEI, 617-779-7937.
Rich with two C's, like thick.
Ooh. Rick. Just call me Rick. By the way, we're going to talk about this A.J. Brown report. Can you just play one more time?
Yeah.
This was yesterday when Drake May was asked by Dan Roach, and I said this yesterday. If you have a problem with Dan Roach, I will fight you. This is one of my favorite questions that's been asked, and only Dan Roach can ask this.
Mm-hmm. Are you thicker with two C's? Is that the way you're supposed to say it? Is that kind of like the hip thing? But...
I just isolated the question. Sorry.
Let me hear Drake's answer too, because that I'm just as fascinated by Drake's answer as well.
Rude question. Are you thicker with two C's? Is that the way you're supposed to say it? Is that kind of like the hip thing? But... you thicker with two C's? Is that how it's supposed to be? Or
I think that's paused, if that's anything. I think that's not the way to put it, but
Do you feel conditioned
as far as another year of experience, just your body getting ready for?
All right, now you can now you can stop.
The follow-up.
All right. So yesterday I heard that clip and I was just like, pause, and you know, Stiz, and I think Christian Arcan was just like, dude, do you not know what pause means? I was like, no, does it just mean he needs to, like, have a pause? And they're like, no, man. You know, that's like, that basically means that could be taken as sounding like
sexual nature.
Yeah, of a sexual nature. Yeah. Even like I think homosexual is like the term. and it's done in, like, you know, rap music and stuff. And apparently that's something that Drake says all the time, or at least has said before in an interview that he did a while back. Stiz found the clip. It's of him just going, like, pause. I guess he does that.
But did Roach start it by saying rude question? I forget that. I didn't just picked up on that.
Yes.
Rude question. Like, so
his question he called rude?
Can you play the beginning of that again?
Okay. It's like a rude question here. Let me hear, Dan.
Oh, rude question. Are you thinking with two C's? Is that the way you're supposed to say it?
Rude?
What does he mean by that?
And what's so great about Roach is he's the same one who asked the bow-legged question.
Yeah, I have that here. So, because we missed this during the draft.
Right, let me hear this.
Next question, Greg Bedard.
Hey, Elliot. A little bit of a weird question.
Oh, that's Bedard.
Oh, it's Bedard?
I screwed up. It was not Roach. Well, I'm sorry, Dan.
Dan,
sorry,
there is some, like, horny smoke going through the press room.
I'm sorry.
Talking about bow-legged and thick.
A little bit of a weird question here.
Two C's, is that the way you're supposed to say it?
You know what, Jackson? We're getting your press pass. I want every question to be about curvy women.
Oh, I'm in, baby. Yes, like, let's go.
Now, would you say that the junk in your trunk means that you've got yourself a honky-tonk badonkadonk?
Pause.
I apologize in advance, but, you know, watching some of Gabe's film, it looks like he's bow-legged.
Okay, I mean, what do we do? You know, I'll tell you what.
I love that Drake actually throws in pauses that no one knows what the hell he's talking about until now.
Drake, you know, watching tape of A.J. Brown, it does seem like he has cheeks for weeks.
Yeah, pause, if that's anything.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is just the best. That really is great. And that's pure Dan Roach. I love Dan Roach. I do. And no one else can ask that question but Dan Roach. I don't know what's up with Bedard asking about bow-legged stuff.
Yeah, that's my bad.
But you know what? You should
rude
just,
question.
We should have Dale Ordway go down there with his press pass, and all the questions are just about curvy women, and that's it. Just being about, like, you know, pardon me, but, you know, when you're watching the Megan Thee Stallion video, did you get a little bit of a you know, some sort of dizzy from your head just bobbling around?
Are you a fan of the
Juicy J? Oh, God. All right. So let's get serious now. Let's serious sports. We're a sports station. Do
right.
sports.
Thank you.
All right. There was a report that came out from Ian Rappaport right before the show started. And I find this to be interesting because the way that the media plays this game, and it's a strange game that's going on right now, where it seems like for months now, Ted, there has been a wink and a nod agreement between the Patriots and the Eagles that A.J. Brown is coming here. The terms seem to have been decided. I know that Adam Schefter essentially got on and just scolded everyone who doubted that this was going to happen.
Sounds like him, yeah.
Yep.
That's what he does.
And now we're hearing this from Ian Rappaport. And I don't know what to make of it. Ken, I'd like to get your take on this because I can't tell whether it's just the silly season and people want to be talked about. People want to maybe are working for certain teams to make it seem like there wasn't an agreement that was made months ago because that looks a little shady and might piss off the other owners. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think about this report from Ian Rappaport.
First of all, I appreciate the comedy from Jalen Hurts, and I also like how he delivered a good line, let it marinate a little bit, didn't crack a smile at all. He's the perfect straight man, just a great wisecrack, and then got on to his answer slash non-answer. It was more answer, though, than non, because I think for Jalen Hurts, him talking about it in the past tense, him talking about his appreciation for what they achieved together, knowing that it is almost certainly coming to an end, is something that really stands out for me. And, you know, there's been a lot of focus, Mike, on the relationship between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, as there should be. It has been an ongoing storyline for the last 2 years. We're not making it up. It is all real. Here is what I would say to this. I would say, personally, I believe they are okay. They're in a good place. Personally, they could continue. I don't know football-wise that they could continue. It does seem like they've gotten the most out of this partnership, and both sides probably would benefit from a separation. As far as the actual trade, though, you know, we're all waiting for June 1st to happen, so the cap hit is in half for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they could trade them. I just don't know that it's going to be like, snap your fingers and the deal is done. Because the two sides are where they have been, which is the Eagles wanting a first-round pick in 2027. The Patriots, the most likely destination. We'll see if someone else arises, but Patriots, the most likely destination. Not being willing to give up a first-round pick as of right now. That means they're not particularly close, and yeah, there's a chance this could drag on for the foreseeable future.
What the?
He's got me all confused now. Now he's wait a minute. He just said they're not even close when
Not particularly close.
Not particularly close. And it was interesting. He did say that the Eagles won a 2027 first-round pick when all the reports have been most likely it's a 2028 first-round pick.
Right. So, Schefter's report, specifically. That's,
right. So Ian's just throwing it all out of whack here a little bit. And he's kind of playing both. I don't know. He feels like he's saying it sounds like it's a done deal, but he's also saying it could not be. So it's. I think he's just trying to muddy the waters.
I think Goodell or somebody in Goodell's office seriously took Rappaport aside, sat him down, and said, this does not look good for our league.
Exactly.
This is going to be perceived as tampering or some team's going to get pissed.
Yep.
And we can't have this happen as a formality on June 1st, and you need to go on camera and say it's not close and throw out something else, and it's a charade. I mean, I don't know other – Schefter would not say this definitively with details if it was not already done weeks ago.
That is exactly what I thought when I heard that. It sounds to me – because it is kind of a bad look for the NFL that you can have two teams – way before this deal is consummated, essentially agree on it and shut everybody else out.
I can't remember anything like it before.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's very weird.
But would any team really get upset? Everybody had a chance at one point to trade for him.
Do they?
Nobody
though?
Stepped up.
Like why? If you think it's a fait accompli, then you wouldn't negotiate. If you're being told these two teams have already got a deal, then you would. It would adjust how you maybe approaching the Eagles about it. I think you might say, okay, well, it's already done, so you don't approach it when, you know, theoretically it was against the rules and you could have. I just think there's some muddy waters there that I think they're best if they act as if it was done right after June 1st.
Here's the only thing I can think about that could be legit and that did change the story a little bit is that the Patriots are finally realizing that they're the only bidder. And maybe they're saying, I know we talked about possibly you getting a first-round pick, but, man, I'm just not feeling that that's what we need to give up. How about we give you a second-round pick and blah, blah, blah afterwards?
Boy. Well, that would be as dirty as the Eagles reopening the negotiations.
Exactly. Same thing.
But is it dirty when they need to get rid of them and no one else is bidding, or is that good business?
I think it's dirty a little bit. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that.
But as a Patriots fan, don't you want the Patriots to do that?
You know what I want? I want teams to always want to do business with the Patriots. Mm. And if the Patriots, it'll get out that they kind of screwed the Eagles on that, and then they have a reputation, and then other teams might not want to deal with it. I just don't think it's good karma.
Make the right moral decision.
For the first time in the Patriots history, yes.
I also think that it's worth it. Like I think he's worth a 2028 first round pick. I know that's huge, and it's you know obviously something massive to give up. But I mean, when you have a quarterback that young and somebody who truly, if you have an A-list receiver out there, can just help this kid develop and just change the game. And you said it best as someone who is on the other side defending that as like a linebacker. How much more difficult does it make the people on the other side when you got AJ Brown out there?
Yeah, it's a whole different offense to defend.
Yep.
I bet you Schefter's pissed about this. By the way,
he might. Listen,
this
listen,
is emasculating.
Schefter's like puffing his
chest. Why
wouldn't
you go to Schefter and tell him to? Well, he's because he'd be contradicting his own reports.
He probably wouldn't do it.
That's it. Yeah, it's already out there. All right, 617-779-7937. When we come back, we have to talk about Mike Vrabel. Boy, if you heard Mike Florio on our show a couple weeks ago, first of all, he said some stuff that could be coming out that blew our minds, but. He essentially talked about how this isn't over when it comes to Diana Rossini and what he is hearing about how this all may play out after he saw yesterday's press conference. We will get to that right after this.
Can I just take a leak in your cereal real quick?
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And listen, we may have a little bit of scoopage here. Thanks to our own Rob Bradford. So we've been talking about, and by the way, we will get to the Vrabel stuff in just a second, but this literally was just sent to us.
Great job by Bradfield.
Yes, Rob Bradford, right on top of it. So we had been talking about how there seemed to be a disconnect between what the team thought Roman Anthony was suffering from and what potentially Roman Anthony did. I believe it was Greg Hill who was tipped off that he had heard that Roman Anthony believed his injury to be a tear and not a sprain, correct?
Correct.
So the morning that Greg found out about that, or at least was told about that from his source, they were speaking to Sam Kennedy.
Correct.
Correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. So Sam Kennedy comes on the show, and Greg ends up asking him, hey, I'm hearing that this isn't a sprain. This is an actual tear. And here's what Sam Kennedy had to say. Do you have that clip, Stiz?
Well, I'm sorry. You said you had heard what?
Partially torn ligament ring finger.
Oh, okay. Well, I could tell you that from what we know from our medical staff, that is not the case. He's got a sprain. So maybe you know, Dr. Hill and Dr. Kennedy here can discuss medical diagnoses together.
Was I right on the finger?
Yes.
Okay.
From what I understand, he's got a sprain in the ligament at the base of the ring finger. There's no evidence of a tear. The imaging is negative. There's been a second opinion to confirm that.
Okay, you can stop it there. All right. I want you to remember what you just heard. Rob Bradford just sat down with Roman Anthony. And we're going to play this in its entirety in just a little bit, right at the during the pregame. Once again, there's a first pitch is at 4:10, so we'll probably play this within the next 20, 30 minutes, you would think?
Yep.
But this little nugget right here is the most, in my opinion, is the part that might be problematic. This is, and by the way, this is how fresh this is, and we just got it. We didn't even have time to load it in. This is Ken playing it from his phone, the audio file that he just got from Rod Bradford. He is holding it up to his mic. So, Stiz, I want you to crank the F out of Ken Laird's mic here and see if we can get this. I'll even turn my mic off so we can hear it better. Here we go.
Well, I think I'll put on my doctor suit right now, and you know, I don't know if it's been made clear, but you know, it's a partially torn ring finger ligament, and my ring finger CMC to be exact for everyone out there who knows what a ring finger CMC is, because I definitely knew what that was before this happened, right? So yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, as you said, Mother Nature just kind of has to do its thing. It's one of those things almost similar to an oblique.
Okay. All right.
There you go. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Player says one thing, team says another. And you know what? You know what drives me the craziest about all that? Is just how you idiots. Oh, we got Dr. Hill here. Oh, yeah. So maybe Dr. Hill and Dr. Ken. Yeah, I see here what's going on. Oh, you and your scoop. And he kept saying, no, it's not a tear. And then from Roman Anthony's mouth, from his mouth, says that it's torn.
Oh, boy.
That drives me crazy. And you know what? And now I know why Chad stuck up for Roman as much as he did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of stuff gets leaked out there.
It's just so people understand, the player, it sounds when you hear the injury that if it's a sprain, it doesn't feel serious. If you say it's a tear, it sounds much more serious.
Yes.
So you have the player saying it's a tear because he wants everyone to know that it's more serious. And you have the front office saying it's a sprain.
A sprain.
Giving the impression that it's not as serious and he should be back sooner rather than later.
You know what? Because I remember when you got that clip from Rob Bradford a minute ago and he said that it was a tear, I was like, I could have sworn like Sam Kennedy or somebody came on here and almost mocked Greg for having that report. First of all, we learned a couple things. Greg's sources are great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was exactly what Roman Anthony had.
Yeah, basically.
Greg's sources are fantastic. And the other part of it is, I just can't stand the way that he tried to make Greg feel like an idiot because of that.
Well, the bigger problem to me is going forward, this is obviously the player telling the front office, hey, I'm getting out in front of this. You guys are screwing it up. You're making me look bad. And this is a direct exhibit A. Like, I want to go on the record. You're not calling this what it is.
Yeah,
this sets up problems now going forward.
It does, and this is where I came from, a program where we didn't talk about our injuries for this exact reason.
Yep,
because you didn't want people contradicting. You didn't want it, the player to feel like he's, you just didn't talk about it because of all the complications that we now find ourselves in with Roman Anthony.
Maybe you know, Dr. Hill and Dr. Kennedy here can discuss medical diagnoses together.
But he was also making fun of himself, too, by saying Dr. Kennedy. But Dr. Kennedy gave a very direct and succinct kind of diagnosis, at least from his point of view.
Oh, boy.
That is not good. But as I said, it did sound like Breslow and Chad Tracy over the past couple of days, maybe because they had a feeling that Roman Anthony was going to speak sooner or later, and he was going to tell you exactly what was going on, and going to tell you that it was a tear, and try to put the word out, because I swear, to, if someone was saying that about me, and by the way, we have Sam on line one, and I know what you're going to say. Sam, come on, because I've got a direct answer for you. Sam, thanks for calling, buddy. What did you want to say?
No, just weighing in. I mean, this is a little bit of semantic, and I know you guys are talking about kind of the language around this and the optics, but just so everybody's clear, we all know that a sprain is a partial tear, correct?
No, so
people don't know that.
But here's the deal, though. It's A, people don't know that, and B, you can't, they said it was not a tear. Like, for them to come straight out and say that it's not a tear is not true. You understand that, Sam?
Correct, absolutely. Okay. I completely understand
that. And that's the problem, because when
they're
you say
trying to manage optics.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sam, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is, and if you're the player, that's not fair. That's not fair for you to try to make it sound as if it's not as bad as it actually is, where you got a guy who obviously, and Chad Tracy did a great job yesterday describing just how painful it can be to just hit a ball when you've got that kind of tear. So, Sam, you understand why that's problematic, that there's two different messages going out there, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to minimize, you know, it's going to put a spotlight on his pain tolerance and whether or not he's a strong player and yada, yada, yada. It's going to kind of look bad for Roman's stock down the line.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, great call. Thank you, Sam, for calling.
Roman is feeling it. He's hearing it. For him to be as direct and give you the exact diagnosis, he wanted that out there because he's hearing that he's soft, or that he's maybe, you know, that is a pain tolerance, and that he's not tough enough to get out there. And that's the last thing he wants people thinking about him.
I mean, just a reminder, he signed an 8-year, $130 million extension. This is a long-term relationship that has been already, you know, inked. So this is the start of it, and you've got already discord here. This is going to be rocky. And I think they now have to get in front of it. They have to have – Breslow has to speak before the game today and just be like, hey, to clear this up, whatever he's going to say.
Do we have that clip? Can we play it one more time? And I know it's through your phone, but this is worth hearing once again. This is Rob Bradford. Excellent job. He recorded, what, about a 3-4-minute interview with him before the game?
This is our 2-minute grill. That's right. Air every pregame. Bradfo sits down with players.
And you'll hear it in its entirety in about like 15, 20 minutes. But good on Bradford to send it to us as soon as he got it. But this is Roman Anthony talking about his injury.
I think I'll put on my doctor suit right now, and you know, I don't know if it's been made clear, but you know, it's a partially torn ring finger ligament, and my ring finger CMC, to be exact, for everyone out there who knows what a ring finger CMC is.
Right. So there you go. I hate the fact that you've got this young star, this person who is hopefully going to be the face of your organization, and things seem to be starting on the wrong foot between him and the people running the place.
That is not the case. He's got a sprain.
Yeah.
Oh, clear that up.
Yep. So,
we're back to the Gronk doctor thing all over again. You know,
right? I mean, I thought of Gronk, too. Just think of young players that are in organizations that, I don't know, they're given information that isn't correct, so the player doesn't like the blowback that he's getting. So he wants to clear it up, and now you have discord.
Well, the one thing that I can say that is, I guess, not doesn't make this as bad as it could be, is that I'm not hearing a lot of people calling out Roman Anthony
for not
playing.
Definitely not.
Like, I think most people understand that this guy is your future. You don't want to get him out there to, you know, be in pain. Or, I mean, obviously, how effective is he going to be anyway if he's going through exactly what Chad Tracy said he was, where, you know, you hit a ball and everything in your body makes you want to drop the bat.
Well, that's what's so weird. They've been talking in those terms for the last week. We're not going to rush it. He's going to take his time. We want him fully healthy. But then why wouldn't you just say it's a tear? Why would you hide that? I mean, what's the point of that?
Because of what we were saying. It doesn't sound as bad if it's a sprain.
Look, the fans understand Roman Anthony's not, but the front office feels like maybe their jobs are on the line, and so they want him out there sooner rather than later. So they have different priorities than maybe what the fans do and Roman Anthony have.
Well, Rob Bradford, way to go.
Good job, Bradford.
Good job getting him to speak. Good job to have him clarify exactly what's going on. And as I said, if Greg Hill says something, believe it. His sources are obviously pretty damn good, especially when it comes to those Veritech stories. Wink, wink, wink. All right, we will. This is going to be the quickest break that we've ever had. We're going to be back in 2 minutes, and when we get back, we are going to finally get to this Mike Florio report. We got a break here, right? We get to do our own thing before it's the Red Sox deal.
Mm-hmm. We got another 7-8 minutes, Rich.
Hell yeah, let's do it. All right, so 2 minutes. We'll be right back, and we'll get to this story that Mike Florio has about what he believes is going to happen regarding Diana Rossini. We'll get to that right after this. I remember when I told Ken that Dirt was the best album of the grunge era, and Ken said, yeah, listen to it. I've heard of Alice in Chains.
No, no, I grew up with Alice in Chains. I was a fan.
He came.
I re-listened to it on my vacation noted how depressing it is.
Yeah, it's grunge. Grunge is supposed to be depressing.
Not 10. 10 gets you up.
Well, 10's, yeah, I mean...
Pearl Jam gets you going.
Pearl Jam's from Seattle.
Like nothing else.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you, Teddy.
Nothing else gets me going
Teddy.
More.
You know what's weird is that is I've always, and I'm wrong on this, I've always thought Pearl Jam is a band from Seattle that gets grouped in with grunge, even though I think they're the least grunge of that whole group.
Oh, what a shot.
They just don't, they're not as like Soundgarden angry, Melvins, or you know, the Alice in Chains. Like, Alice in Chains is the quintessential grunge
Eddie
band.
Vedder needed to do some heroin.
Maybe that's the case. All right. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted, and we're going to have some Red Sox baseball here on in just a few. But before we do that, yesterday Mike Vrabel went and spoke to the press, and there were some questions about whether or not he would be missing any more time. A lot of veiled questions about the Diana Rossini situation, in which he, for the first 20 seconds, would say something of substance and then talk for 2 minutes about absolutely nothing, and it was word salad.
Unreal. When you see the transcript when you sent yesterday, Ken, I was like, it's unbelievable to read what his answer was.
The buzzwords.
Like, it's incredible.
That was
how he did not answer the questions.
Was that you, Ken, who sent the transcript?
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome.
Well, the Patriots typed that up and they sent it out. So to their credit, you know, they put every word in there.
Every
but the two-minute answer on the one question is just so much garbly goop.
You know? It was. It was. After the first, like, 15, 20 seconds, you know, he would say something that sounded like it was an answer, and then it would just go into nothingness. But Mike Florio was, you know, he's obviously been on top of the story, and he was asked about what he thinks is going to happen and why this isn't over, why him speaking is not over, and here's what Florio had to say.
He didn't know how true he was when he said anything could happen, because we've seen anything happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing that has yet to happen is Diana Rossini has yet to tell her story, and we have no idea. There's no indication. There's been nothing. No leaks, no scoops. The only thing that made me think that it's going to happen is your guy Stu Gatz made the comment that he's friends with her and he's talked to her and he's not going to speak for her. It's her story to tell in her own time. That implies that she will. That's the moment that I said, uh-oh, there's going to be a chapter of this that is very public and very interesting because she's going to tell her story at some point. That's the next thing. That's the only thing left. So, yeah, that could come up, and that could create a situation where Mike Vrabel could end up yet again having to take a break from the team to try to restore the balance between his work life and his personal life.
Okay. So he mentioned there once again that he might have to take time off, which I like, that is a sentiment that for a while had kind of gone away. We had Florio on a couple weeks ago, and I would say look for the audio because it's wild. It's so much so that, like, I feel it's, like, irresponsible for me to paraphrase what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed to me that he threw out the one thing that Vrabel could say or that Rossini could say that could get Vrabel in a lot of trouble, and you could use your imagination, and it's something that is so irresponsible for me to even try to, like, quote. Just use your imagination. And it's weird because hearing Vrabel say, I'm not sure whether or not, you know, I'm going to be able to be here, it does say to me that in the back of his head, he knows that there could be some sort of grenade that gets thrown out there.
Who knows what's going to come up? I'm not even, you know, anything could happen. And so
the reason he would say that is because that's what the last 2 months have been. It's just one thing that he didn't see coming after another, right? Until it's recently died down the last couple of weeks. So for him to say that was revealing and also very, very true, because you don't know what she's going to say unless they've been in communication, which I'm fascinated. I would love to know if they are, but also are there other pictures that they don't know about, that kind of thing.
There's no way they're communicating. It can't be any way, because it's like the husband and wife. I mean, both of their, you know, her husband and his wife, I guarantee you, it's just like, you are never speaking to them again. And why would you do that? Like, why would you? Because right now they both got a lot of making up to do.
I don't think it would be the worst thing to be on the same page with what messages. So look, I don't think they want to hurt each other more than they already have. So telling each other, hey, look out for this or be prepared for this. I could see them wanting the each other to know what is maybe about to happen.
Well, that's going to be quite a powwow. Like, that would be each of them, representatives, like PR people, potentially their partners.
Spouses.
Yeah, right.
I mean, kids. Are the kids in there? I mean, I don't know.
Like, that is something that you definitely don't want any recorders or any sort of
WhatsApp,
audio or video.
Telegram, Snapchat.
You don't
I
want
don't
any
know.
Of that. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, despite all the Roman Anthony stuff, your Red Sox are kind of, they kind of got a flame in their ass right now. What an exciting game yesterday.
And Roman's pissed.
Roman's pissed.
He's going to light him up.
Great game. You've got good offense several
Chris
games
Sale
in a row.
On the mound today.
And Chris Sale.
We'll put him down.
How great would it be if this offense actually rocked Chris Sale at Fenway and you got another win at home? Double digits. If they win today, double digits wins at home.
Three bunts in the game today. Over under.
All
small
the
ball. Punch and Judy, baby.
All the bunts you can handle. It's just death by a thousand singles. Here we go, baby. Red Sox on a tear. Right here on WEEI, home of the greatest baseball team in the world.